help us focus our minds on our hour of study. Let's turn to number 419, Lord, we come before thee now. We'll sing the song before we are dismissed to our classes. I didn't see who asked the opening of prayer. All right, 419, Lord, we come before thee now.
Lord, we come before thee now, at thy feet we humbly bow. Oh, do not our suit disdain, shall we seek thee, Lord, in vain? Shall we seek thee, Lord, in vain? Lord, on thee our
study your word and to sing praises unto thee. We're thankful to gather as a family, and we're grateful for the church that meets in this area. Father, we pray that you'll help us as we try to broaden thy kingdom in this area, as we try to reach the lost. We pray, Father, as we do so, that we will not grow weary in well doing, that we'll remain faithful to you. You know that as we've gathered here tonight, that we'll receive that spiritual strength that we need to go on from here. You know, the devil's doing all that he can to pull us away from you. May we always remain near to you and you near to us. We pray for forgiveness of sin, Father, if we have failed you in any way. We want to be prepared and always be ready. Help us to have the courage to admit when we're wrong and turn away from those things. We're mindful of those that are not able to be with us tonight. We have some among us that are away traveling, working. Others are homesick. We pray that you'll look over them and may they find some comfort and soon be well. We're mindful of Harry Lewis and his family at this time. We pray that you continue to be with them, be with him and the struggles that he is facing with the shortness of life. But we realize, Father, that it's very important that we all realize that someday that death will come. And we pray that we will be ready. But we just pray, Father, that they'll find comfort at this time. You'll be with him and the family. We're so grateful to be called your children, Father, and help us to let our light shine. We pray for wisdom and strength as we go from day to day. We pray that you be with our study tonight, that we have open minds and receptive hearts and open Bibles as we glean those truths from your word. We bless us through this night as our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Echo nights, echo, echo, echo nights. Those nights where everybody's gone, not everybody. We're glad for those who are able to be with us tonight. I will make mention, I was just talking with Sandy. Her husband Bob's going in for a procedure on Friday morning. He's been having some shortness of breath, and so We're going to run some tests and, you know, run the die through and see what's going on there. So we hope everything goes well there. People have been asking about my sister. She's back in the hospital. She's been having some complications, and so that's unfortunate. So I have to remember her. And, of course, there are others that we look out that are not with us tonight, Christina. And I know that Kennedy's got a fever, so she's home tonight. And there are others.
Smith's out of is gone to the necklace for work. Samantha.
Oh, Samantha. Okay. Genesis 30, folks. Genesis 30, where you guys left off last week. And we're going to pick up in just a few moments around verse 8. You guys had some good discussions in reviewing for tonight. Of course, you guys already read verse 30. I thought that was rather interesting, where Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children. Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." That's rather interesting. What do you want me to do about it? But, of course, you guys already discussed how that culture in that time, just not having children, it would just, you know, you just felt like things were just not right. And having children back then was such a blessing. Of course, it is today. But back then, as far as if you didn't have any, you know how they felt. And we've actually discussed that in times past. Up to the verses where you left off around verse 8, we've already discussed, or you guys already discussed, Leah and having children, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. And then, of course, we're going to get into this area where Bilhah, however you want to pronounce that. And then we're going to notice that in verse 6, you guys already discussed that, where Dan and Naphtali were given birth. And so why don't we just start in verse, well, the sections I really wanted us to cover tonight. Let's read a few of the verses here. Let me just talk about this. Zilpah, Leah's maid, Gad and Asher. And then, of course, then Leah's going to have Issachar, Zebulun, and Dinah. And then Rachel has Joseph. And that's just the history of who gave birth to who. But let's just cover this 14 through 17 and just have a little discussion about this before we go into 25. And there's a few verses in there I want us to talk about. So I'm not going to be like reading every verse in every chapter, but we're going to take sections, and the sections that we don't read, I'll just give you an overview of what it was like, and if you had any comments about that. But let's look at 14 through 17, and Mark, at the back, if you go ahead and read 14 and 15, and then Charlotte, you can read 16 and 17.
In the days of the wheat harvest, Reuben went and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. And Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "It is a small matter for you to take my husband, and would you take my son's mandrakes also?" So Rachel said, "Therefore he may lie with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes."
When Jacob came from the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come in to me, for I have hired you with my son's mandrake." So he lay with her that night, and God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob of his son.
Okay. The just as a quick point in passing, does anybody know what a mandrake is?
A bird.
A what? It's not a bird. It's not a plane.
It's a plant herb.
What did you say?
It's a plant. It's a plant. An apple.
An herb.
An apple. Well, it was actually.
An herb.
It wasn't an apple.
An herb.
Something along those lines, like an aphrodisiac is really what it was. Some kind of plant. And it was obviously something that they thought that they could use and they would have. And it's just, that was all part of it. But this is a rather interesting section here from verses 1 through 24. This whole relationship with Rachel and Leah, and then their maids and whatnot. You read through that, and you know, it raises more questions than answers. Now you say, you know what? When you die, judgment day comes, you talk to the Lord, ask him about all that. And I'm serious. I mean, there's all this stuff that's going on, but you know what? Within this, you can see where God is just fulfilling his promise. God had a promise that he gave to them. Now, how all things were unfolding, okay, man felt like they needed to intervene and whatnot. But when we get talking with Jacob and Laban here in just a few moments in this next section, you can still see where God has his plan and it's going to unfold. Janet.
My footnote on the mandrakes said it is, I guess it's an herb that, I guess it's an ancient Middle East thing. It's aids in conception.
Yeah, that's what they believed it was. That's what was going on with their conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
that's what they believed.
Right. Yeah, that's, I guess that's the reason why she
wanted. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly what was going on here. And, you know, having children was so important. And then when Leah felt like she couldn't have children anymore, she gives Jacob her maid, and then there's a couple more children being born. In other words, all this was happening. Of course, Rachel finally conceives, and she gives birth to who?
Joseph.
Miss?
It's in the nightshade family. It's a type of root vegetable, and it looks like a little person. Why it's called a mandrake, because
like
the root
person.
A lot of time looks like a little man.
Right. Because of the root system?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So it's kind of like a carrot, only it'll
kind of
loopy.
Right. Exactly. That's kind of cool. Now, when we get into it, you guys have read this many times, we've studied this before, but up to this point, what's your take on Laban? What kind of man is he?
Shady?
Anything else? What do you think about Laban? Good guy? Bad guy?
Follows the rules, I guess. The ways of, you know, first daughter gets married first.
Yeah, but if you read into this chapter, there's going to be times where actually Jacob raises the point, you know, 10 different times you change your mind, you know, I'm always, you know, and that's one thing we learned about Jacob through all this. Jacob was always true to his word. Laban wasn't. And I think no matter what happens here, you gotta keep that in mind as we go through this particular section. Because Jacob, obviously, it's time to leave. It's time to leave. I got to go. Even God wants him to go. Okay? And you still have Laban and some of his attitudes throughout all of this that he brings out. And so let's go ahead and pick it up in verse 25. And we'll just read 25. Well, first of all, let's just go 25 through 32. And so we're going to move up over to Sandy. 25 through 32.
And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. Give me my wife and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said to him, please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Then he said, name me your wages, and I will give it.
But he said to him, you know yourself how I have served you, and how your cattle have fared with me. For you had little before I came, and it has increased to a multitude. The Lord has blessed you wherever I turn. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also?
And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire.
Okay, we'll talk about that in just a few moments because we're going to expand on that. We're going to see what Jacob did. You got to appreciate Laban here in his honesty. What did Laban recognize? Why didn't he want him Jacob to leave, Nancy?
Because he was doing well with Jacob there. His everything was increasing.
All right. At least he recognized that and didn't want him to leave because of that. But Jacob wanted to leave because why? What did he say to him?
Time for me to provide for my own family.
Exactly. It's time for me to go. What I've got, you know, it's all yours. I've got nothing. You know, I want to go. And Laban, you can see it's more of selfishness is what you have here. I want to keep you around. I'm being blessed because of you being here. Okay? And it was time for him to go. Basically, in order to get him to stay, what does Laban say? If your boss really wants to keep you, what's he going to say? What's your price? Every man's got his price, right? Can you be bought off? I mean, you know that expression, right? Every man's got his price. And so basically, Laban's putting that before him. And does Jacob like that? You know, is he ready to say, okay, here's my wage. Here's what I want. I don't want anything. Although he does stipulate something. We're about to get into that, right? You guys read ahead. You know where we're going? All right? With what he's going to take with him. And so let's go on because there's some interesting stuff here I do want to talk about. 33 beginning, and we're over to Mike's mom.
So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats, brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word.
So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had come had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them to the hand of his sons. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock.
And Jacob took fresh sticks of poplar and almond and plane trees, and peeled white streaks in them, exposing the white of the sticks. He set the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flocks, in the troughs, that is, the watering places where the flocks came to drink, and since they bred, when they came to drink.
39, Ellen.
So the flocks magnified the rods, and the flocks brought forth stripes speckled and spotted. And Jacob separated the lambs, and made the flocks face toward the stripes, and all the black in the flock of Laban, and he put his own herds apart, and did not put them with Laban's flock.
And Trey.
And it came to pass, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger were Jacob's.
Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys.
Okay, we're going to notice when we get into the 31st chapter here that God had a hand in this. Did God have a hand in this? How do you know God had a hand in this? Other than the fact in chapter 31 it said God had a hand in this. Well, what do you think up to this point? Do you think God had a hand in it?
Well, even Laban said it did. Yeah.
Well, with the spotted, the striped, What is it that Jacob actually did in front of these animals?
He just took the rod and peeled it.
And put it in front of them. So they would look at it. Which would mean they're going to conceive and bring forth.
Spotted and speckled.
Yeah. Okay.
That's not typically how that works.
Yeah, it's. Yeah. It seems kind of crazy. But in other words, he has a plan he's going to work out here. He said, I'm going to get this in my favor. And so what's kind of cool is he gets all the strong animals, the stronger ones, the healthier ones. You know, I'm not doing the Darwin thing here, the survival of the fittest, but he you understand as a farmer, and I'm not a farmer, but you can tell which animals are more fit than others. Those are more healthy. Those are stronger. And he that's the ones that Jacob wants to get. And so he makes this agreement with Laban. Laban agreed to it, of course. Okay, that which is those animals are like that, you can have them. Of course, Jacob, people think, well, that's a little underhanded by Jacob, by the way. Did you do anything wrong?
No.
What? You know, when I think about why God would even have his hand in this, look at the big picture of his. Is this fair for Jacob? And think about the past.
I raised them all anyway.
This is called justice.
Yeah.
I mean, that rascal Laban, what he's been doing to Jacob, and Jacob, every time, okay, I'll do it. Okay, I'll do it. And it wasn't like, oh, man, I'll do it. Because you guys read my favorite verse last week, didn't you, where it said, so Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love that he had for her. Great verse. A lot of sermons taught from that. But yeah, he did everything that Jacob wanted him to do. And so when you come here, you know, taking advantage of Jacob's labor. I mean, he labored. You know, you got 7 years and another 7 years and all this time that's going on. What's the old saying? What goes around comes around. And I'll tell you what Jacob's doing here and God working in his side. And you're going to see that as we get into the 31st chapter here with Laban's reaction to all this, right?
But see, and I always looked at it as what comes around goes around, and Jacob got exactly what he deserved because he did that to his brother. So, be bold, you're fooled.
Yeah, you know, I mean, again, I mean, a lot of those things had happened, right. And what Jacob did to his brother, people are talking about, you know, what, you know, does God approve of wine? I'm not here to talk about whether God approves of lying. We know that God doesn't approve of lying. But there are things that God allowed to take place. I know that even Jesus quoted in Matthew chapter 19 about marriage and what it's supposed to be. One man, one woman. Okay? Jesus, what? That's what. Back in the garden, he didn't make Eve and Sally and Linda and Jill and then Adam. You know, or Adam and with all those. Okay? He didn't do that. And so this was the plan that God had. Now, what was going on here? Again, God would allow things to take place back then. But he had a plan. And it was unfolding. And then we get into 31. Here's what happens. We'll read parts of this. And so let's start in verse 1 quickly. And Tony, you only read one verse. You start out again, and we'll come up to Tony. Tony. Tony will start, and he'll come up to Tony. It's been one of those days, Warren.
Okay. Okay. Now Jacob heard the word of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has acquired all this wealth.
Jacob saw the countenance of Laban. Indeed, it was not favorable for him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you.
And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field and to his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me.
And you know that with all my might I have served your father, yet your father has served me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me.
If he said, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckles. And he said thus, the streaks shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaks. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me.
Okay, then of course, the reaction of them, it says, and it happened at that time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes, he went on to tell, and saw in a dream, and behold, a ram of which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here I am, and he said, lift up your eyes now and see, all the rams which leaped on the flocks are streaked and speckled and gray-spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where he anointed the pillar, where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land, and return to the land of your family. So in verse 14, we'll have that read in just a few moments. We're going to see the reaction of Rachel and Leah, which is really kind of cool. But up to this point, what he's telling Rachel and Leah and all that has happened, and the voice of God and the angel of God telling them, you've got God's approval here for Jacob. I want you out of here, get going. And he's telling them, your father has cheated me 10 times. He's changed my wages. And so here it is. We did he force Laban with this deal of the animals? Did he force his hand on that? You see, this is the thing that you need to understand, is that when you tell somebody, hey, pick one or pick the other, what is it that you want? And he said, I'm going to take this, and Laban agreed to it. And now, of course, Jacob finds out that Laban is not going to be pleased with him. And so his plan is to what? What's his plan? That's Laban. Of course, you got to let the daughters in on it. You let the daughters know what's going on here. Keep them in the know. And he does. Well, let's see their reaction. Let's see the reaction. Mark, start the next verse. 14.
Rachel and Leah said to him, do we still have any portion of inheritance in our father's house? Are we not reckoned by him as foreigners? For he has sold us and has also utterly consumed our purchase price.
Just two more verses, 16 and 17, Charlotte.
All wealth that God has taken away from our father belong to us and to our children. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do. So Jacob arose and set his sons and his wives on camel.
Okay, what do you like about what they said? I mean, they just talked about their father. So what was their response?
They said he was taken away from us by doing what he did to you.
Okay. What else? What else do you like about what they did?
Whatever God wants you to do.
That's what you want to hear. That, I mean, seriously, that's really what you want to hear. Where's that verse? Yes, verse 16. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. Be supportive. I mean, that's really what you want within a relationship. A person says, here's what God said to me. Well, then you better do what he says, and you need that kind of support. Not all men who loved God in the Old Testament and the New, but not all men had the support. And you could be vice versa, too. Does anybody come to mind?
Job.
What happened?
Curse God and die.
His response? You speak as a foolish woman. Anybody else that didn't have the support that you can think of? Other than the famous Job? Well, you can think of some evil woman, women, and maybe, and obviously you can think of some evil men. You think of Samson and Delilah. There's no, but I'm thinking of, where's some others? I'm really hoping you guys would be on the brain here and think of, there are other examples out there, Charlotte.
Well, Ananias and Sapphira, they had equal parts in it.
Okay, yeah.
They didn't support each other.
I did like that one. I mean, they actually supported each other, didn't they? In doing evil. Okay, whereas in this example, you have the no, let's do the right thing. Let's be supportive of God within all of this. Okay, we still haven't got this encounter yet that's coming. Because what do you think is going to happen when Laban finds out about this? He's going to go after them, obviously. He's going to go after Jacob and have this conversation with him, which is rather interesting. Because of all the things that Laban has done, the guy's known to be a liar. And we actually find him coming. I always find this rather humorous. Is that when he finally gets there, you can almost see, look, I didn't even get a chance to say goodbye to my daughters. Oh, you rascal. That was not why you were coming. You know, the only reason you said that is because God saw you on the road and said, don't you dare say anything to him. You know, I mean, let's put it in its context. So many times you can see people that would just change things. But it's amazing when you know the truth, it sheds a light on it. And that's what we're finding out here. That's what makes it a really cool story. So let's pick it up in verse 22. Hold on a second. Let's see. Yeah. We'll pick up in verse 22 and Sandy.
And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was blessed. And he took his brethren with him, and he pursued after him 7 days' journey, and they overtook him from the Mount of Gilead. But God had come to Laban, the Syrian, in a dream by night, and said to him, careful that you speak to Jacob, neither good nor bad. So Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountains, and Laban with his brethren pitched his tent in the field.
And Laban said to Jacob, what have you done by deceiving me and carrying away my daughters like captives with a sword? Why did you flee secretly and deceive me, and did not tell me so that I might have sent you away with joy and songs for the timbre and the lyre?
28-29.
Yeah, 28-29.
And has not suffered me, kiss my sons and my daughters, thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spoke unto me last night, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad.
And 30.
And now you have gone away because you belong greatly for your father's house, but why did you steal my gods?
Okay, what happens here? We're going to talk about this in just a few moments. And I won't make Jesse feel bad, but we'll let Mike's mom read a little bit.
No,
that's okay. It just happened. Here he is. He comes. Not only did he not get to say goodbye, what else did he say?
Somebody had stolen an idol.
Well, that's the last thing that he said, but there was something else that he said.
That he had to kiss him.
That was that one. What else?
Jacob could see Laman going without letting him know.
Yeah, and he's saying, if I'd have known, what would I have done?
Would you,
man, I'd have given you the biggest going away part. Really?
Yeah.
Seriously? That's really what you want? You're the one that didn't want him to leave in the first place. And, you know, there's just so many problems here. But as you guys just mentioned, Janet just mentioned, and it's like you can go, and somebody took my idols, by the way. That's why I came. Somebody stole them. Of course, Jacob's like going, what are you going to do when... I mean, what do you think his reaction is going to be?
We didn't steal your idols.
And so he's going to say, search. I don't care. Search. Let's see what happens. Let's pick it up. Where did we leave off, guys?
31.
And we are over to Mike's mom. Then over to Hanson. And then up to Jesse again.
And Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, peradventure, thou wouldest take my daughters from me. With whosoever thou findest thy God, let him not leave. Before our brethren discern that what is thine with me, take it to thee. Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them.
And Laban went into Jacob's tent, then to Leah's tent, and then in the two maids' tents, but he did not find them. Then he went out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household idols, put them in the camel's saddle, and sat on them. And Laban searched all about the tent, but did not find them.
She said to her father, let not my lord be angry that I cannot rise before you, for the way of women is upon me. So he searched, but did not find the household gods. Then Jacob became angry and berated Laban. Jacob said to Laban, "Why? What is my offense? What is my sin that you have hotly pursued me?"
Okay, let's just stop there for a moment. I mean, so you see what's happening here. Jacob doesn't know, though, right?
No.
You know, and I think there's a lesson there for us. There are times when you think you're 100% right when you don't have all the facts. You don't have all the information. I mean, He's laying into Laban right now, and of course, and why is he laying into him? Why is Jacob letting him have it now?
Because he thinks he's been falsely accused.
You have checked everywhere. You have falsely accused us. It did not happen, and blah blah blah. You're going on. You know, Jacob doesn't know this. Now this raises an interesting question. Why did Rachel steal that? First of all, the fact that she stole them tells you what? She didn't have any of her own. Okay? That kind of tells you something. The fact that she doesn't have any of her own tells you what? She what? Well, actually, I think the opposite. I think prior to that, I think it's the fact that up to that time with Jacob, it was not something that they had been doing. Jacob's way was not idolatry. You've got Rachel, you've got Leah, and the way they're living, even though they're amongst those people who practice idolatry, obviously Jacob didn't do it, but at the same token, that's all they knew. That's all Rachel knew. And so when Rachel's leaving, she's like, I'm taking them with me, thinking that she needs to do this wherever they're going, which is obviously wrong. But I think it's important that we understand there that Jacob wouldn't even want these. And unbeknownst to him, that Rachel had taken them, and taken them because she didn't have any of her own. And of course, it gives you a little bit of an idea about where Laban and what was going on in that time period. Any other thoughts on that?
Yes. It's strange to me that God wouldn't be their God. Why would they have idols? I don't really understand.
Remember, guys, you know,
God even just talked to Laban, too. Like, his idols ever talked to him?
But you got to remember, a lot of the idolatry that took place back then, people could have their idols. It's what you're talking about, Jesse, kind of reminds me of exactly what happened in Egypt. Once they realized your God, they're like, we've got our God, and you've got your God. Some also have the idea that, well, our God's the same, but our God is your God, the one God, is represented in this idol. It's another idea that people have. But you're right. All of a sudden, God talks to them, and they know about all of this that's going on. And yes, okay, you need to do what God says, Rachel says, and Leah, but Rachel says, you need to do what your God says. Hold on, I got to go get this idol. Yeah, something just doesn't seem right there. I mean, where's your allegiance, Mike?
I was going to say, it's kind of interesting. You have to wonder what Rachel thought in verse 32 when Jacob says, you know, you're confident that I don't have them. You can kill whoever it is if you find them. And you have to wonder if Rachel's like, wow, I'm going
to. Okay, who was that, guys? Oh, man, we got it. I'm having a deja vu. Who was it that said,
the next person that walks in the door,
you know?
Yeah, I'll
work. I'm going to kill him.
I'm going to kill him. It was his daughter came up.
The first person to greet him as he comes.
Yeah, as he comes back. Yeah.
And he had to follow through.
And she was willing to do it. Yeah. You've got to do it. You know, it's a great story. Even though we can't remember who it was or where it's found. But it's real. I've read it. I'm not like one of those denominational people. It's in there
and
somewhere.
And it's his only daughter.
Yeah.
It's his only daughter.
Mark.
There was a judge of named Jephthah that went out and did battle, and he said whoever came out in my house ought to sacrifice.
And sure enough, when he came back, his daughter came up to greet him. Happy moment turned into a very sad moment. Nikki?
You know, I've actually never even considered the fact that she was potentially wanting to worship them herself. I always, I guess, just assumed that she was stealing them potentially for monetary value, because they give that whole speech about, like, you know, our father is basically stolen from us. So I kind of always just looked at it like, fine, you stole from me, I'm going to steal from you.
That's what I kind of always thought as like a token of my father that I'm going to, you know, just have, and maybe I can pass it on to my kids.
I didn't even look at it that way.
You know, that it's my right to have them. And I think they were pretty valuable, is the way I took it, that it was kind of a valuable thing. Well, it wasn't like a plastic, you know, statue.
It was valuable enough to Laban that he wanted them back. But again, was that just another ploy of, I was going to give you a party, I wanted to kiss my daughters goodbye, by the way, I don't have my idols? In other words, you're coming up with these reasons why I'm chasing you, why I'm coming after you. But remember, what is it that God told Laban? What did God tell Laban?
Don't say anything.
Don't say anything what? What options do you have? If I come up to you and I'm not going to say anything good or bad, what am I going to say?
Nothing.
How's the weather?
Okay. That's usually bad. I just found that rather interesting that God would tell him that, and he acknowledged it. He acknowledged it to Jacob that God had spoken to him. which leads us into something else because of all that's gone on with God talking to him. Laban wants, what do you think Laban's going to want? Did you guys read ahead? What does Laban want? Since he came after them, he found them, he tells them all about this, what's he going to want? Wants a covenant. Let's have an agreement amongst us. And let's see what they had decided on that one. And so, I know, we got to read a little bit where Jacob vents a little bit. I kind of cut it off in verse 36 when we talked about Jacob was angry and rebuked Laban, and Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is the sin that you have pursued me? Now let's pick it up in verse 37. Who read last? Ellen. Please, 37. Begin.
You have felt through all my goods. What have you found of all your household? Lift here before my kinsmen and your kinsmen, that they may decide between us two. These 20 years I have been with you. The ewes and your female goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten rams of your flock.
That which was torn by a beast I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it. You required it from my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was. In the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes.
Thus I have been in your house 20 years. I served you 14 years for your two daughters, 6 years for your flock. You have changed my wages 10 times. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night.
Okay, this I really like this because now I don't want to read into the scriptures, but when you hear a speech like that, it's almost like Laban is like, yeah, that's pretty much the way it is. Can we make peace? You know, because everything that Jacob said was accurate. 100%. Selflessness. Selflessness on Jacob's part. I mean, I served you. 20 years I served you. And you tricked me, and I labored for you. And I suffered the loss. I didn't come back until, you know, some animal got one of yours. Or, you know, I'm the one without sleep. I'm the one that was cold. I went through all of that. I don't see Jacob here as if he's bragging. What do you see a man here doing?
Stating his case.
That's exactly what it is, Tony. I mean, he's just putting the facts out there just like a good lawyer would do. Here's the way it is. Now, Laban, you either believe it or you don't. And I think right here, reality sinks in with Laban. That's exactly the way I have treated him. That's exactly the way I have treated you. And your God has provided for you because I took advantage of you and you had nothing. And now you have this. Remember, that's what upset him. That you've been able to somehow procure all these good animals. Because God was with you. So, he wants a covenant with Jacob. Got 6 minutes to cover this, and he says, and Laban in verse 43 says, and Laban answered and said to Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and this flock is my flock, all that you see is mine, but what can I do this day to these my daughters, or to the children whom they have borne? Now therefore come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me. All right. How much Jacob was humbled by the speech? I don't think very much. You see everything here? It's all mine. There's Laban. See all it's mine. But let's make a covenant here. Let's make a covenant between us. So Jacob took a stone and set up on a pillar. Actually, verse 44. Therefore, let us come, make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me. So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. Then Jacob said to his brethren, gather stones, and they took stones and made a heap, and they ate there on the heap. Laban called it Jagar Shahad or Doretha, but Jacob called it Gali. I like his word better. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between you and me this day, therefore its name shall be called Gabe. Also Mizpah, because he said, may the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent one from another. If you afflict my daughters, or if you take other wives beside my daughters, although no man is with us, see, God is a witness between you and me. Then Laban said to Jacob, here is the heap, and here is the pillar, which I have placed between you and me. This heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, and I will not pass beyond this heap to you, and you will not pass beyond this heap and this pillar to me for harm. Now, in your reading today, I hope you picked up on that. You don't cross over to harm. There's a clause in there. It's not like you can't cross, but it was the idea that what is your intent? What is your purpose for this? Then the God of Abraham, verse 53, the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judged between us, and Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and called his brethren to eat bread. And they ate bread, stayed all night on the mountain. And early in the morning, Laban arose, kissed his sons and daughters, and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned to his place. Here you find, right off the bat, Jacob not caught up in idolatry. Jacob offering the sacrifice. That's what they did, those who followed God. I don't know what all was going on with Jacob and his relationship with God for those 20 years. You know, I just don't know. I mean, he was in an idolatrous area. People engaged in it. He obviously didn't. But we have to see the big picture, what God's plans were for them to become a great nation. Remember those three promises to Abraham. You and I, we would think 20 years, what are you doing? Are you worshiping God? Are you praying faithfully? Are you singing? You know, things were different back here. Things were different than what you and I are used to, what we understand, what God expects out of us in our service to Him. What was going on during that period of time? We don't know all the details, but I'll tell you this much. Jacob did not forget God. Jacob didn't forget God. Jacob didn't turn to idolatry. We know that. And that prepared him for the task that was set before him. And we're going to see that as Jacob. We all know the story that's coming. It's less than half the book. But when you study the book of Genesis, it has sections. And we're about to spend a lot of time talking and learning about who? The whole life about Joseph. Mike?
It's kind of interesting that, you know, his God seems to be more, not that, kind of like you said, we don't know what Jacob was doing, but it didn't seem that he was as focused maybe on God as he is, you know, here. If I recall, this is the first time that they talk about a sacrifice being made and everything, at least that I can remember, but it seems like, you know, Leah and Rachel, they've been at each other, and then they kind of realize, hey, you know, our father is kind of, you know, the main one here. You know, they seem to, maybe Jacob and Esau are getting ready to reconcile. Laban seems to come around, mm-hmm, to maybe recognizing. But you have to wonder, verse 55, where he kissed his daughters and sons goodbye, if that was, you know, because Leah and Rachel were not happy with him at all.
Yeah.
And everything, so.
Yeah.
But
it's still family.
Right.
You know, there's still family there. But you're right, it almost seems like there's a new chapter beginning,
yeah.
A new chapter in Jacob's life. Maybe it's a little more detailed, a little more focused, because obviously Moses, writing by inspiration here, doesn't give us all the information of what happened every day in the life of Jacob. And, you know, we have a couple of pages here that covers a span of 20 years. But all this focus that we're going to have now with Jacob and with his son Joseph, and showing that favoritism that is there towards Joseph. For us students of the Bible, we see the importance of God spending so much time talking about this one, because that's how it all came about. When we get those details. So I'm looking forward to getting into that study. Lord willing, Mark will get you started in on that, although Mark has to deal with some preliminary things before we actually get into the life and story of Joseph. And so thanks for your comments on that, guys. I appreciate it.
You have a Bible class in the morning, you get all kinds of material.
Songbook number 272, that'll be the song of invitation, number 272. Once you have that marked, if you'll turn to number 298, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, we'll sing this song before Chuck brings us our lessons. Number 298, we'll sing the first, third, and fourth verses. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, nor to defend his cause. Maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. Firm as his throne, his promise stands, and he can well secure.
Song handy. This is going to be a short fill-in for Andrew, but I don't mind pinch hitting. I feel like I've deserted you guys a lot with being away on meetings, and lo and behold, I'm gone again this week. But I had a class this morning, and listening to the person I was talking with, it put a lump in my throat listening him talk. And I'm not going to tell you because I think some of it that he kind of wanted to keep private. But one of the things that was mentioned is that he said one of the lowest moments in his life was about 3 months ago. And I asked him what was the problem? And he goes, it was the lowest moment in his life because he knew spiritually, he knew he wanted to go to heaven. But he'd been watching TBN. Does anybody know what TBN is? TBN is a Turner Broadcasting Company of just religious programs all day long. And he said, Chuck, he said, I was watching that, and the more I watched it, the more confused I got. And the more confused I got, the more frustrated I got, the more depressed I got. Because I just wanted to know what was right. And your heart just melts for somebody, you know. And he's saying this is the lowest point in his life. And I told him, and I said, Fred, I said, that's why we have the gospel. We talked about it on Sunday in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. God, I said, God is not the author of confusion. Man is the one that is responsible for that. Man makes it complicated. Man mixes it up. And he's looking at me like, well, you're a man. And I says, well, I love his logic. He's smart as a whip. For an older guy. Not that older guys can't be smart. Please retract that last name. But he looks at me like, okay, you're coming to teach me. It makes you any different? And I says,
The difference is this, and I kind of got a little lectury in my tone. It says, the reason why we give book, chapter, and verse, because we back everything up with Scripture. He says, but Chuck, he says, all those guys all day long on those TV programs, they're all telling me they have the truth. And the only time I got them to stop and think, I says, if they didn't tell you that, I'd have a problem. They're all going to tell you they have the truth. You have to expect that. Don't sit there and go, well, man, that confuses me. That shouldn't confuse you, that they all say they have the truth. That should just disappoint you. That should cause you to say, somebody's lying. That's what, you know, you're not confused about that. This guy says 2 and 2 is 3. This one's 2 and 2 is 5. You know, you're going to go, oh, I'm not confused about that. I just think somebody's wrong here. Somebody's not telling the truth. And what your job is to rightly divide it. And you know, here he is talking about, you know, I was trying to point out, I was pointing out error, and he wasn't liking that. And I just said, Fred, let me read something to you. And I said, let me read this to you. It said this. I said, the psalmist wrote, through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. I said, I want you to go to heaven. I says, but when you start telling me about these teachers, I know what they teach. He insisted on me listening to some CDs from some guy in California. I checked out the website. And so in the first part of the class, I said, I want you to know what he believes. He believes this, 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 this. Oh, I didn't know that. I said, yeah. And so I gave him the illustration I always talk about with you guys. I said, when is counterfeit money the most dangerous? I said, when it's almost like the original. I said, you wanted me to listen to those 5 CDs? He was upset that I didn't get a chance to listen to them. I said, I didn't have time. But I said, look. I said, chances are, I might agree with everything he says. I said, you know, I've got a library full. And he's quick. He goes, yeah, I've seen your library. It's been on the TV. It's behind me. He says, I've seen your library. I go, yeah, most of them are not written by Christians. They're not written by Christians. And so you have to be careful. You have to go through to make sure. But I said, most of those guys, if you take their sermons, they might preach a great sermon on family. How to be a good husband, how to be a good wife, be a good parent. You know, envy, jealousy, hatred, how to overcome some of those things. Those guys are going to preach lessons like that that I might give an amen to. But I said, you need to understand that the closer you look at things, I told them the old Bette Midler, from a distance there's harmony. But up close there's wars. And as you get deeper into the Word, I told them this, the deeper you go into the Word, the more you're going to see the differences. And I says, Fred, you need to learn the Word. And you'll see through this stuff. Well, yeah, how can I know if somebody's teaching me error? You're going to listen carefully. And the more you learn, what's going to happen is, and I said this, I said, what's going to happen is you're going to learn some things and you go, oh, what the heck? Oh, yeah, he was wrong about that. You don't know that he's wrong now. You don't know that they're wrong. I don't know what all stuff you've learned over the years. But the more you learn this, the more junk you push out. Brethren, there's my point. As an invitation. Is what I told him. I said, I don't know, Fred, but if you're really seeking the truth, if you're really seeking the truth, you will find it. You will. Now, if you don't want to find it, you won't. It'll be hidden from you. God will send a strong delusion that you'll believe a lie. You won't find it. But if you really want it, God is going to help those who seek to find it. And so if people want to get to heaven, you can get there if that is your desire. And folks, I also give you that invitation to let you know that, you know what? There are people out there that are frustrated. Let them know. Talk it up. Let your light shine, because sooner or later, maybe somebody will come to you and want answers. Let's be prepared to give them an answer for the hope that's within us. Point them in the right direction. My heart aches when somebody is so down in their life simply because they can't find answers. And we know where they're found. And that helps us. Let's find the peace that we have of knowing that we know where we're going. We know why we're here. We have direction and purpose in life. There are people out there that just don't. But don't lose your focus. Make it. Remain faithful to the end, and let's encourage each other to get there. And let's pray for the lost. Let's pray for people like Fred that want to know the truth. And let's do what we can to reach the lost. If you're subject in any way to the invitation, let it be known as we stand together and sing the song.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, I'll follow him.
It's good seeing everyone out tonight. Got quite a few people missing. I'm not really up on to speed on everything. But
Kim and the girls are home. Not going okay. Well.
Any other announcements? Sick list or anything we need to keep in mind?
Sure. Work day Friday at the building. Of course, we'll be there Thursday night too, if anybody wants it.
Dan?
Mallory was homesick this evening.
We'll be out of town this weekend. Remember, Abigail Collins in the prayer was in a lot of pain.
Well, I believe Mike has the closing prayer. We'll be dismissed for it.
Let's pray. Our God and Father in heaven, we're humbly come before you, Lord. Thank you for this time that we've been able to gather here together to study your word, to learn more about your word and how we can be better in our service to you and better in our service to others, that we can be strengthened and edified by just being together and drawing strength from one another. Father, we're so thankful for all the things that you bless us with, for the material blessings, especially in the land that we live here. For the ways that you bless us seen and unseen. But most of all, Heavenly Father, for the spiritual blessings, for your word, the easy access we have to it, that we can learn more about you and what you would have us to do. The most important blessing of all, of Jesus and his willingness to come and to die on the cross for remission of our sins. Help us to never take these things for granted, but to always recognize what you have done for us. Father, we're about to depart from here, and we pray your blessings upon us as we leave and go back out into the world. Give us give us boldness to live each day devoted to you, no matter what may come our way. Help us to never pass up opportunities to teach the lost and those that we come in contact with. That by the way that we live our lives, others may see living through us. Father, we're mindful of those who are sick and not feeling well tonight and not able to be here. We pray your blessings upon them. We pray for Brother Harry and his family. We thank you for for his life and his example. But we know, Heavenly Father, that for all of us, that for Christians who are true Christians of yours, that death is a day of triumph for us. Father, we're mindful of those who might be struggling spiritually. Be with them and whatever that they might need in order to be strengthened and encouraged, and help us as brothers and sisters in Christ to look for those who might need encouragement at whatever time that may be. As we depart from here, Heavenly Father, forgive us of our sins. Help us to do that which is right as we repent of our sins. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 You have new shoes?
Don't be texting me now.
You got new shoes?
Jack. Huh?
I almost had a crash with you, man. We almost had a major collision.